Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. My name is Justin McClintock, and we're trying something a little bit new this week. I am doing this live on Instagram, so this may make for far better content. This may make for slightly choppy content. We're going to see what happens. But I had something I thought I would talk about. People are pouring in. The masses are gathering. And I have a couple things I was considering talking about today. One jumps to the forefront. This may be a slightly controversial, mildly controversial, I suspect. But we'll see. There's something that's been kind of bugging me for a while, and especially with the kind of crowd that often shows up to these, which is tends to be a mixture of pretty experienced exercisers and pretty smart coaches and everyone in between, a number of people wear both of those hats. But I have something that's been kind of in my craw lately, and it may get me thrown out of coaching, but these things happen. What are you going to do? So here's the thesis, which may or may not be controversial, but came to me when I went to a coaching seminar not too long ago, and this was brought up a lot. And I feel like a significant portion of my feed, especially from coaches and people running exercise programs, spend a lot of time talking about the obesity crisis in America. I think it's pointless, verging on lazy, to talk about the obesity crisis in America. I don't understand who you're talking to. If you're talking to professional fitness people, health, wellness, medical professionals, they all know. None of that's a surprise. If you are talking to people suffering from obesity, people who, you know, morbidly obese, and just people who are rather overweight, maybe considered obese on that scale, it's not like they don't know either. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone. I don't think it's new information that more people are overweight now than were overweight 40 years ago. Saying it over and over again, especially when people start pulling out a bunch of statistics, well, this is how many 20 to 40 year olds are overweight compared to 1964. And like, what's the point? What's the point? It really feels like lazy, space filling. I don't actually have anything to say. I don't actually have an opinion. I don't actually have anything useful to contribute. I'm just going back to this well of, well, there's a problem. Look at this big problem, as if people don't know. So it feels lazy. It feels pointless. It feels not useful, and it tends not to move anywhere. It tends to be there's a whole category of, well, people, but especially in the fitness industry, there's a whole group of people who spend a bunch of time talking about how people don't take personal responsibility and people don't really care about themselves anymore, and people just want things handed to them. And it's the whiniest, laziest, most privileged, most untrue, out of touch sentiment. I can't stand it. I'm open to be argued with, by the way, chat and group and anyone listening to this, but I find it completely out of touch and completely and lazy. A big problem with all this stuff for me is how lazy it feels. There are for sure themes and general issues that lots of people are dealing with, right? People aren't getting enough daily activity. Many people's lives have become essentially sedentary. They wake up, they walk across the room, they sit down at their desk, they stay at that desk for 8 hours. It is monitored when their mouse doesn't move enough. It's monitored when they aren't logged in and active enough on Microsoft Teams or any other godless Big Brother piece of software. And at the end of those 10 hours, they get up, they have dinner, they sit on the couch, they watch some TV, they go back to bed. They may not get 1,000 steps in the day. Very, very low levels of activity. That is absolutely a problem. We all agree that's a problem. People need more activity, and not because having more activity will affect their body composition. That is a side story to the issue. The reason people need more activity is they need to be able to move their bodies. They need to be capable. They need to be functional. Also, when you move your bodies, lots of other good stuff happens, right? You are probably going to get exposed to a bunch of vitamin D in the process. Even if you're going somewhere, even if you walk to your car and drive that car to the gym and walk in the gym and jump on a treadmill for 20 minutes and leave the gym, get back in your car, drive home, walk back in, you're still getting, I bet you still get 5 minutes of sun. And that's not bad. I think it's like 8 minutes of sun a day will get you your USRDA of vitamin D, something like that. And when people move more, it tends to have this snowball effect, right? This is one of the great things about exercise, working with a coach, having a gym membership, going to group classes, all of that stuff. One of the wonderful things about it, I always refer to this as the snowball effect. It tends to create this snowball effect where lots of other good things happen, right? This is the bad side of when someone is like, hey, you know, I joined Rumble. I started boxing and I lost 15 pounds. My skin cleared up. I have more energy. My sex drive is through the roof. I feel better about myself and I can kick someone's ass. All of that might be true. No argument. All of it's true. But what happens is you start going to a group class a couple of days a week. And you enjoy it, you know, it keeps your interest. It's hard enough to be a challenge, but not so hard that it beats the hell out of you and you can't return. You go and you start doing other things that people who are in shape do. The people who go to group classes a couple of days a week, you will notice they start shifting their diet around. They're thinking about how they're going to feel when they're boxing. So they're not going to have a ton of greasy fried food the night before because they don't want to feel bad the next morning. They're sweating more. So they start drinking water because they've been told they need to hydrate more. So they start, you know, drinking more water and they're feeling better about themselves. They have a little more energy. So they are walking around a little bit more because they want to, you know, change how they're eating. They might be doing a little more grocery shopping than eating out. That requires some intentional planning and starts feeling a little more like self-care. They go to bed at a reasonable hour because they want to get up and make sure that they have energy for this class. And suddenly, you have someone who is exercising with intensity 2 to 3 times a week. They're eating intentionally. They're well hydrated. They're sleeping really well. All of these good things are happening, which are creating that person that they self-described earlier, who looks good, feels good, performs good, is healthy and doing well. Was it the boxing 2 days a week that did it? Kind of, right? That is one of the stimuli, which is really important, right? Movement exercise guy here. The stimuli is really important. All of the other things you can bring along with it are equally important. Returning to the thesis, I don't understand why we would spend 2 minutes talking about the obesity crisis in America. It's not that it's not important. I don't understand the point in talking about it, right? I am not, especially as health, fitness, wellness professionals, right? If my job was public health, like a government position, public health, or even a university position, if I studied public health for a living, then yes, I want to see these broad themes and broad ideas and understand, communicate those things well, especially to people who are medical professionals in the health, fitness, and wellness industry. So basically shooting up a flare, hey, it's not going as well as we wish it was. What can we do? Hey, medical professionals, can we refer people to more coaches, health and wellness professionals? Because we really need this stuff to be happening. But within our circle, and because everyone on here and most of the people hearing the sound of my voice, if we repost this later, a lot of your algorithm serves you fitness, health, and wellness stuff. You know a lot about fitness, health, and wellness stuff. I have a concern that talking about the obesity epidemic in America is essentially a little mean and kind of feels like punching down. It feels a little bit like the old out of touch comedian who doesn't understand why people don't like their stuff anymore. And they think it's because people are out of touch or they're too sensitive or it's gotten too politically correct. And what's actually happened is they've gotten completely out of touch with what's happening in the real world and they're just not funny anymore. And that's a bummer. Those people tend to, a lot of them kind of angle into bullying humor, which is the punching from the top down, right? The best comedy is people from the bottom punching up. That's the history of comedy. Arlecchino, keep going back, all the way back. The best comedy, the best humor are the underdogs punching up, and aren't they so funny? Like every great, that's what The Simpsons are, right? That's what all awesome comedy is, underdogs punching up. Punching down is, you know, tends to be pretty mean-spirited, attracts a certain kind of person, and there's absolutely that kind of person in the fitness wellness space, right? Hardcore people who are holier than thou, anyone who doesn't work out, you know, 5 days a week is super lazy. Why can't everyone just be as hardcore as I am? And those people, if you dig enough, tend to have significant issues. Working out isn't actually hard for them. All the other stuff is hard for them, right? Which we could dig into another way. And I'm not picking on anyone in particular, but there's a whole group of people out there who the waking up at 4:30 to work out is the easy part, and they actually like it. The making great social connections and helping their community, that's the hard part they're not really good at. They would rather stay in their shell and work out at 4:30 in the morning. Slightly off track, but back where we were, I fear that health and wellness people talking about the obesity epidemic and is often described in ways that are a little disparaging and not trying to understand. Because the moment you say, yeah, there's an obesity epidemic, and here's, let's be specific. Let's take an example. Here's a person, here's a real person, and they're busy. They're a single parent. They have two jobs. Their stress level is through the roof. It's really hard for them to find time, space, money, energy, and opportunity to do the things you're suggesting. Therefore, what do we do for this person? How do we actually help them? Let's assume they want to be better, because they probably do. Let's assume they want to feel better, because they probably do. Let's assume they want to be healthier and be able to even at least show up as a better single parent, as a better employee, as a better community member, because that's probably true. That's probably something they want to do. But working out 5 days a week for 90 minutes isn't it. That's not going to be the thing. And the problem isn't their priorities. And the problem isn't that they don't take personal responsibility. And the problem isn't that they're dumb or they don't know, right? They know. People who are overweight know they're overweight. They might feel a whole bunch of ways about it. They know they're overweight. I promise in America, it has been loudly communicated to them. They don't need to be told that. What they need are methods, habits, strategies, things they can do that are actually achievable, that they can actually work with, that might actually help them. Now that is harder. That's really specific. That takes some thought and intellect and nuance. And it means dealing with small groups of people all the way down to maybe one person at a time in order to help them in a really effective way. It's not taking three steps back and saying, yeah, people are overweight and lazy, and look at all the weight they've gained, and look at the terrible food they eat, and look at the content they consume and the way they live their lives. These people just aren't taking responsibility. I strongly disagree with that tack, and I think it's incredibly lazy. It's just punching down. It doesn't take any thought. It also doesn't take any problem solving, right? You're putting it on them, expert. And this is coming from the mouths of fitness, health, wellness experts, right? You're the one who's supposed to be so good. You're the one who understands how to solve these things. Telling people what's wrong with them, telling people all the issues you see, generally isn't helpful. Framing things in the negative generally isn't helpful. We don't let our clients frame things in the negative. We don't let our clients say terrible things about themselves. I don't let my clients apologize for things they shouldn't be apologizing for. We shut that down all the time. Oh, I'm sorry. I could only do this much today. Wait, time out. What are we apologizing for? What'd you do? I don't understand. Explain what you did wrong so I understand where the apology is coming from. And 9 out of 10 times, the truth is, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just communicating some information. Great. Don't apologize for information. It's just information. That's great. I'm sort of painfully aware that this point of view is unlikely to be super popular in a lot of health, fitness, wellness. I'm hoping it will resonate with enough people, but it's exactly the sort of thing that gets you uninvited from speaking at conferences and things like that, because it's very easy to get on a stage and say, look at America, look how fat everyone is, look how lazy everyone is. I can't believe people get their food from these places and eat these things and consume this content and have these social connections and treat their family like this and treat their lives like this. Of course they're fat and sick and broken. What an awful situation. Oh my God, this is a tragedy. Some of that is true. Some of it is up for discussion. Most of it requires some nuance. And I don't understand the point of saying any of it, other than making the people with abs and biceps in the audience feel good about themselves, right? It feels self-aggrandizing and not helpful, which is like the worst people in the fitness industry are that. And I don't want to be associated with that. And I don't want to spend any time with that. Morgan's here. Morgan, you might like this, or you might hate it. I don't know. I just spent 20 minutes talking about how fitness, health, and wellness people talking about the obesity epidemic are lazy, verging on useless. And I don't want to be associated with them anymore. This might be the thing that gets me kicked out of coaching. We'll see. I would love people's thoughts if they're interested. I know writing in the chat can be a little bit of work, but this has been banging around my head for a while now. And again, like the main thesis, I believe that fitness, health, and wellness professionals talking about the obesity epidemic is fucking pointless. Or worse, it's mean. But it's not a secret. It's not new information. It's not useful. A lot of it, I think, is intentionally or unintentionally used to make themselves feel good and make their audience feel good. Aren't we smart? Aren't we capable? Aren't we better? We've really got it together. You know, we've got our shit straight. Let's help everyone else. Where, spoiler alert, the vast majority of the health and fitness industry is just like the vast majority of humanity, and they do not in fact have their shit together, and they are in fact battling all kinds of problems, and they are in fact battling all kinds of substance issues and eating issues and body composition issues and health issues and blood marker issues and all kinds of other stuff. And it's not that there isn't a health crisis. There is. It's not that health and wellness isn't likely, health and wellness professionals aren't likely the best people to be the tip of the spear in changing the course of that health crisis. I genuinely believe they are. But you will do that being effective, being empathetic, being communicative, being able to speak to people in ways they can hear. And by, I mean, they can hear that will resonate with them. Probably not. I mean, there's a section of people, but it's probably not telling people how bad they are and saying they're overweight and should make changes in their lives. Like it's going to be a light bulb is going to go on over their head. And their eyes are going to grow wide and their jaw will drop open. Oh my goodness. You mean I'm supposed to eat more vegetables and what, have more steps and be in the sun more and move my body and sleep more hours? Oh, I wish someone had brought this up earlier. I had no idea. That's not it. And again, to double down something I said earlier for some of the folks who just joined, it is not that people aren't taking personal responsibility for their lives or their actions or any of that stuff. It's not. When someone says, I feel like I don't have any time to do the things you're asking, they're telling the truth. They can't figure it out. They've tried. Maybe they can help. Maybe they can accept help. Maybe they could use help. Maybe someone like a health, wellness, fitness professional could come in and say, actually, I understand why you're saying this. I deal with this all the time. Can I show you some strategies that people just like you have been successful with to find more time in the day, to find places to do these things? Because it's not that they don't want to make a change. It's not that they've given up. They may not think it's possible. They may not have all the information you have, but it is not a matter of people failing to take personal responsibility. I cannot stand that take. It is loud and lazy and disappointing, to say the least. Chat, I would love to hear what you think, because I don't want to just tell myself how smart I am and what a good thought I've had over and over again, because I may be wrong. Morgan says, I 1000% agree with people using it as content to make them and their followers feel better. Yeah, and there's places for some of that, right? Like we're at the forefront of noting and celebrating your own wins. It's not pushing back against that, right? Hey, I used to average 2,000 steps and I got 8,000 steps today. Great, huge win. Hey, I hit my protein goal. Huge win. Hey, I went to the gym 3 times this week, like I've been planning on for a while. Huge win. All of that is a win. We don't have to frame it as punching down. Morgan, it's such low-hanging fruit because being overweight is so visibly available. It's like low-hanging fruit for people who want to rage bait. Yeah, and that I think that's part of the problem. And genetics are really the luck of the draw. Exactly. The rage baiting is a big part of it. I think that's where a lot of the personal responsibility content comes from as well, because that resonates with people, right? And I think everyone knows this, but outrage and anger is that's the lifeblood of social media. That's what keeps people on. Everyone, this is an ice cold take. So I don't expect this to be new to anybody, but all social media, certainly all the meta products, but also social media, they've shown over and over again that when people are angry and outraged, they're much more likely to stay on. They are much more likely to engage. They will comment, they will like, they will fall down rabbit holes, they will follow more people, they will post responses, and all of that keeps them on the app, keeps them being advertised to, keeps them as the product being available. That's just how it works. Outrage is the thing that works best for social media. They are deeply invested in getting you and keeping you angry, outraged, etc. Sometimes for the most reasonable things. Right, there's plenty in the world at time of recording to be outraged by, but keeping you outraged and keeping you in that loop, that's the business of social media. And this kind of people don't take responsibility, people are lazy, that this, you know, the lazy punching down I mentioned earlier is a big part of that. Mal, I would also bet most coaches pushing to fix obesity do not have many obese clients or know how to actually help them physically and mentally. That's a great point. When someone's talking about the obesity crisis and helping people who need to lose significant amounts of weight lose weight, I'm always interested, like, how many like severely overweight people have you worked with? Right? Because it's different. It is different. How often do you think about weight limits on equipment? Because every piece of equipment has a weight limit. Do you know what it is? Are you sure? I never want to put clients in a position to fail anything. And certainly with significantly overweight people, I don't want to put them in a position where there's a chance of them breaking a piece of equipment because they exceed the weight limit. That thought may not occur to someone who's used to dealing with people who want to lose the last 5 pounds or want to get a lot stronger, or want to put on a bunch of muscle, or want to be more competitive, or want to learn a bunch of cool movements, or want to be a ninja, or just working on health and longevity, but are generally like in pretty good shape. All of which are great clients, all of which is important to coach. But if you're not used to working, like if you haven't worked with people who are, you know, 350 pounds plus, it's different. And the way you approach things is different. And the way you construct things is different. How often are you having them get down and up off of the floor, recognizing what kind of workload that might be for them? All of those things come into it. Malva, I think it's a really good point. Like, how many of these people do you actually have experience working with? And how many people do you know personally, right? There's like any population that is sort of the other and the outside, the more often someone has a personal connection with one person in that population, the more likely they are to be open-minded and understanding and have some nuance in their understanding of the population, as opposed to just seeing them as this other thing, you know, mass that needs fixing. And that goes for, I mean, yeah, and that's everyone. All of the others. Stormy says, also interesting that the personal responsibility folks generally also have strong, parentheses, uninformed opinions on weight loss meds, such as the easy way out. Right. The same people who are getting angry that people aren't taking personal responsibility, so they say, for their own health and fitness, are outraged that people are going to their doctors and having conversations about weight loss medications, which seem to be significantly successful for a significant number of people. Now, there's a lot of addendums to that, including we're still not, we have no idea what the long-term side effects of this stuff is. Getting people off of these medications seems to often be kind of tricky. I've had some surprisingly useful, pleasant discussions with self-proclaimed obesity docs on this app who have, so far, have all been very open when I try and nail them down on this, and they've all said, oh yeah, this is a lifetime medication. That's the plan. We're hoping that it, as science and medicine tends to do, there's going to be advances and things are going to get better, and there will be ways to get people off of this and or medications that will take the place of this that people don't have to be on forever. But right now, for most of the GLP-1 stuff, people are on for the rest of their life, and that's the plan. Yes, people have gone off of it. Yes, people have gone off of it successfully. But when people are, find out that someone's taking semaglutide or a variant of that and label that as lazy, it pins the client in a place where they simply can't win. Okay, so I wasn't being responsible. And then I went to the doctor and listened to the medical professional and probably went significantly out of pocket to make this happen. And by the way, when I take this medication, a lot of my life changes. My eating habits significantly change. My sleep can be affected. My energy can be affected. It's a big thing I'm going through, and I'm being told it still doesn't work and I'm still somehow being lazy. And again, I think the person who's being lazy is the accuser standing on their, tiny little island with their friends who have always been kind of fit and kind of healthy and kind of okay, and they don't have a lot of insight into the idea that not everyone feels that way. They aren't required to be educated on that. They aren't required to have a ton of insight on that. It's just that their input on those situations is going to be less useful. For some reason, those people seem to be the loudest in these situations, partly because they don't have all the information, partly because they don't have the nuance and the actual expertise that people who have done this a lot do. They tend to not be as loud because they come down to what most great coaches say when they're asked what a solution to a problem is. It depends. I need to know more about your situation. I can't say if it's a good idea or a bad idea or if we should make other adjustments. Maybe I won't get kicked out of coaching. We'll see. We're definitely going to lose some followers over this one. That's just how the world works. Quite okay. Followers, I like a lot of the people who follow me. I couldn't be more indifferent to my follower account. I've actually been deleting followers lately. I've been going in and deliberately big swaths of people who follow me. I've been deleting them. Mostly robots, or people who are doing that like follow on the follow thing to try and like get followers and stuff like that. I think no real people, basically, no real people who are following me, for whatever reason that they're following. I don't think I've deleted any of them, but, the artificial follower count, I actually think is for someone like me worse than useless, knowing that I know, I think Vaz is still on here, has dealt with this a lot, that, Instagram shows like 10% of your content to 10% of your followers. And if that's happening to mostly Russian sex robots, it's a huge negative for me. So I would rather have the follower number be a lot less and the people who I want to see my stuff actually see it, because the business I'm in is actually helping people one-on-one and helping those folks, as opposed to people with bigger follower accounts can make money because they have those follower accounts. Right? If you have 500,000 followers, there's lots of ways you can make money just by serving things to those followers. right? Understanding that, you know, some percentage of them are probably robots, but enough of them are real people, especially if your engagement is okay. The head of Instagram came out, I think last week, and went on a thing about how engagement was much, much, much more important than follower count. But if you could do that, then you can get, you know, affiliate deals and marketing deals and ad deals and all that stuff. That's not what I'm after. It's not what I do. I don't have a lot of interest in it or building that. So the more real people who are genuinely interested in things I do and things FeelStrong has to say are kind of the only people I want in the feed. So we've tried to cut it down pretty hard. I know that's a bit of a digression from we don't need to talk about the obesity epidemic anymore. But I thought it might be interesting to everyone who was on here, because it was kind of a light bulb moment for me. I feel like it was like 8 or 10 weeks ago. I was talking to a social media expert and they said that, like, oh, you know, Instagram shows 10% of your stuff to 10% of your followers. So if you have a bunch of followers who aren't real people or are never going to, you know, actually engage with you or potentially buy your stuff or refer you people who you might actually be able to help, those might actually be a net negative, right? It's not just, oh yeah, I've got a couple thousand followers or however who probably aren't real. It might actually be a net negative for me. Not true for everybody. Maybe only true for tiny little one-on-one service accounts like I am. Other thoughts, feelings, concerns, criticisms, revelations, questions related to this or otherwise. I am happy to take other questions, and/or I'm, you know, very happy to be argued with and told I'm wrong about this, because I'm sure there's some nuance I'm missing, and some, you know, ideas and exceptions and things like that. But right now I feel fairly solid about it. What do we think, class? Mal, are you laughing at the fact that I was being followed by a bunch of Russian sex robots? I can't be the only one. They appear to be Russian sex robots. You know, I noticed they all have, I think it was like 8 posts and like 12 followers. It was really consistent. Like 7 or 8 posts, so a little more than the grid. I think maybe that's so when you look at their profile, it looks full. Like you can see something under it. Maybe, I'm not sure about that. And really consistently, it was like 10 to 14 followers, 7 or 8 posts, and that was it. At least for me, it was always, you know, the avatar was always a picture of a very beautiful woman. Most of the pictures were of that beautiful woman posing, being beautiful. Not a lot of other information. Sometimes I'll link to a site, which I would never press that link because it looks sketchy as hell. Stormy, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Yeah, I didn't think so. I don't think I'm special. I'm pretty, you know, the Russians are good at this, and I'm low on the pecking order of Russian targets, but I am on the list, which, you know, feels good in its own way. It's nice to be invited to the party, even if it's not exactly the place you want to be. Good, Mal. I'm glad. I was worried it was something else. Any other thoughts, ideas, questions? We've been going for about 40 minutes, so I'm happy to stay on. I have nowhere to be, but we'll wrap it up if we think we're about done with this. Y'all tell me. Thank you, Morgan. Morgan says, I just vehemently agree with everything you say, which is kind of boring. Yeah, I like it. We should, I feel like it's been way too long since you came on the pod, Morgan. Maybe you should come on and have a little bitch fest, because I feel like you're in such a different position than me to unpack some of this stuff. Not only being, you know, an international competitor, but also doing overwhelming nutrition work, which I overwhelmingly don't do. And, you know, we're very different people. Thank you, Mal. I appreciate it. Ditto, Stormy. All right, great. So I'm not getting kicked out of coaching, because at least most of the chat is on my side. Probably not everyone, but that's okay. And I appreciate it, gang. If you have other thoughts, feelings you don't feel like putting in the chat, feel free to DM me. DMs are always open. I appreciate it. Thank you, gang. I appreciate all of your time, all of your energy. I know your time is important, and it means a lot to me. I'll talk to you all later. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. Please subscribe and leave a 5-star rating if you have the time. That makes a really big difference. If you have questions, you want details, DM us on Instagram at FeelStrongFit. There's more information on the website at feelstrong.me. We value effectiveness, individualization, and empathy. See what it's like to have an expert in the field really listen, hear what you need, and build you the perfect program to get you where you want to go. Today is the perfect time to get started. Reach out.